Hi. So I was hoping if I just kind of sat there quiet, this actually wouldn't happen. But here we are. Thank you, Kelly. I actually thought you said I was a job, not a gem. So that was fun. I am Teresa, and I'm an addict. Hi. So she's right. I don't know that I assimilated myself into Cocaine Anonymous, but they definitely sucked me in and made me part of this fellowship, and I'm happy to be here. This is going to be interesting. So bear with me, please. Let's see. What do I have to say? All other mind-altering substances. I did not understand that. I went into treatment when I was about 23 years old, which was 4 months of inpatient rehab. And I really wanted to get it. Like, I wanted to stay clean from that day on. I went through all that homelessness and being on the streets and having nobody in my life, nobody that could trust me. Nothing, no responsibilities. And I was like, okay, I'm young. I have to get this. I did a year outpatient after that. But I continued to use substances that didn't make me homeless. I was like, well, you know, I can manage this, until I couldn't. 7 years later, when I pick up my drug of choice again, and I'm almost homeless again, almost jobless again, I had to make the decision to go back into rehab again, which when I picked it up again, I was about 29 years old, and I knew I was in trouble. I was like, okay, this is going to be bad. So I emailed my counselor that I had at Meda House during my outpatient stint, and I said, you know, I picked this up again. I know it's not going to be good. I definitely need your help. Well, come in. We'll get you into inpatient rehab. Well, no. I don't need inpatient rehab again. No. No, I'll be okay. Just help me out, you know. So I stretched that for a good 6 months, you know, tried to do the outpatient and whatever else, and it just wasn't going to happen. So I knew I needed help, but I wasn't ready to take any suggestions. I wasn't ready to listen to what others had to offer me because I wanted to stay in my shit, you know, excuse my language. So in the beginning in recovery, I definitely learned to ask for help from other people. I have a fairly long God story. God's been part of my life since I can remember. You know, 7 years old, I went up to the altar and I asked Jesus to come into my life and, you know, be my God. And I tried to follow that for a long time. Throughout high school, you know, I didn't live in a home where we went to church or anything, but God was talked about or admired, you know, God was there. But it wasn't like really part of everything we were doing. And I wanted that. So I found another family and friends from high school where I would go to church, and I went to Bible study, and I went to youth group and church activities, and I did all that stuff. But then I ran into this like spiritual battle, like, wait, I'm either doing it God's way or I'm doing it my way, and it was just too much for me to handle. Like, I was having this mental battle all the time, like, well, I messed up, so now I can't keep following on this path, you know, like, I'm just going to dismiss God altogether. So I just went on Teresa's own path after high school. I was like, well, I'm gonna do it this way. I'm going to find me a nice young man, and we're going to get married and have kids, because that's how it happens in my family, you know. You just get hitched, have kids, and live your life. I have a big family. My mom comes from 10 children. She has 7 sisters and 2 brothers. So I have lots and lots of cousins and aunties and uncles, and we're all pretty close. So I'm big into family, and this CA is definitely my family. Like, love you. I didn't do it right the first time. And I learned that because I ended up in inpatient rehab again. I'm sorry, I'm jumping around. So this time in inpatient rehab, I figured, well, I need to do something different. So what am I going to do differently? Maybe this time I'll go to meetings and I'll get a sponsor, you know. Because back then, you know, I'm 23 years old. I got people in my life. They don't know anything about this stuff. They're like, well, you went to all that treatment, or you're fine now, right? Yeah, I'm fine now. Sounds good. Well, yeah, like I said, it took 7 years, but I learned that I definitely was not fine. So, let's see. So now I'm in inpatient rehab again, and I was just telling Kelly how, you know, my counselor tells me that I have to change my phone number because my dealer keeps calling me, you know, or people I used with, and I'm like, they'll stop calling. I don't have to change my number, right? Like, I don't want to do this. I changed my number, and I just know that there's suggestions along the way that I took against my better judgment, things I did not want to do, that definitely advanced me and got me to a place where I can understand why people are telling me the things they're telling me, because I'm following their suggestions and seeing that there's a reason for me to do these things, you know. Because even though I did have a long connection with God, I didn't know how to communicate with God at that point anymore. You know, I'm a drug user, I'm scum, I'm whatever, you know, who is God? He's there, cool, I love him, he loves me. That didn't really mean anything to me in the beginning, because I had still had a really long way to go to get any kind of relationship with him. There's been so many great things this weekend. Everything, the workshops, the speakers, I've just enjoyed it all so much, and I appreciate everybody in this room and everybody that has been in these rooms all weekend. So I love these conventions. This is really only the third convention I've been to. My clean date is June 5th, 2013. Thanks. I started off in AA, actually. I had a sponsor. We never did any of the steps. But we just kind of, like, talked all the time, and I ran a meeting there. She had a couple of meetings at her shop, and yeah, they were good. I went to them for a while, and then I was like, all right, now I got my life to live, so I'm kind of done with this meeting stuff. And right, so then I'm asked to come work at Maida House. You know, I'd been through so many years there, 13 years worth of treatment and going back and seeing my counselor on a regular basis, at least once a month, or just touching base. They're like, you should come work here, you should come work here. I was like, all right, that'd be awesome. What a better way to help people. I was like, all right, I can do that. So I did. So that's what I was doing. I was driving the women for a second job. I was able to take them to meetings 3 times a week. I was making money to go to meetings. It was kind of, I mean, I wasn't trying to go to meetings, but it was my job. So I was okay with that, you know. And then I came to these people, made sure they got to know me, or, you know, put themselves out there and got to know me. And, I mean, everybody's wonderful. This is where I see a lot of God in everybody, because they have zero reason to be as kind and generous and loving to me. I've done nothing for them, you know, and that's who God is to me. Like, there's nothing I can do to earn his love. He just loves us, you know. Sorry. I usually get pumped talking about God, but now I'm getting emotional. Oh, his love is so strong and so evident. and it never changes. He's immutable. I can't change God. He's not going to change his mind. And he's always going to love each and every one of us. And he wants the best for us, and I know that. Finding out what it is he wants for us individually, because I believe every single person in this room and on this earth has a very specific purpose to serve. And I know that there's no way I can even fathom trying to serve that purpose if I'm putting any mind-altering substances into my body. You know, that's my automatic disconnect from God. So immediately, if I'm truly seeking God and asking him to direct my path, and I want God to just use me, and I want him to have everything I am so I can do his will on this earth, because I know it's way better than any will I could think of. But it's hard. It's not easy. I mean, because he gives me my freedom of choice. I always have my free will to do whatever I want at any moment of any day, you know. And that shouldn't be hard, but it is, because he's not here in front of me, but I'm here. You know, I can go to bed when I want. I can wake up when I want. I can eat what I want. But giving it all to him sounds like a really cool idea, but it feels like it's really hard to get there sometimes. It took a long time. I was a really emotional person. You know, everything upset me. I was always in relationships. Like, I did not know how to live without a significant other. But now I have for about... Oh, my gosh. I don't even know. At least a year and a half now, which is absolutely the longest I've ever been outside of a relationship since I started dating, which I didn't start dating until I was, like, 19. But I'm a late bloomer. But I am 36, so it's been a long time. God is everything, else he is nothing. And I truly believe that 100%. Like I said, I always have the freedom of choice to do my will or God's will. I was thinking about it last night, and the image of Pac-Man came into my head. And I'm like, okay. Because it's like, you know, I'm that little Pac-Man guy eating all this stuff. But I can just keep bumping my head into the wall here. Or I can follow God's path this way, or I can go grab this low-hanging fruit over here that looks so ripe and juicy, you know, the promotion or the spouse or, you know, just some, like, oh, well, God, that looks so good. I know that's for me, from you, right? It's got to be. But he tells me otherwise sometimes. I know that I can't go any further until I listen to the first direction that he's given me. He's not going to change his mind about where he wants me to be, but if I make the wrong choices along the line, I'm going to have to listen to new direction also. You know, I think that path is always going to the same end result. But if I don't do what he says when he says, what he says 10 years from now might be different. You know, maybe he told me to stop eating sugar because he knows in a decade I'm going to be diabetic. But I didn't listen to him. Well, now I have something I have to deal with because I didn't follow God's order, you know. He's so big, and he is love. And he is a person, and I get to talk to him. And I get to hopefully be a light unto people I come across every single day. I think I struggle with that. Because God's a touchy subject. It's something we freely talk about in these rooms, which is really awesome to me. I mean, to an extent, we can talk about God, and I'm like extremely honored to be up here today that anybody wants to hear anything I have to say. Because. Yeah, but. I know you do. I know you do. I don't even know. No, I know. I always feel love from every single person in this room all the time, like over the top. Are you serious? Are you even? I can't even trust you right now. But that's what's awesome about the people in these rooms, because who knows what they've done in the past, but I can trust every single one of these people in this room, because what they follow up, what they say with their actions, and that's been talked about a lot this weekend too, is what our actions are doing. Because it's not so easy to look in the mirror sometimes, I did ask some people, like, what they see in me, and or how they see me, I guess. And I got really good feedback, actually. Now I have to make sure I live up to it. Service work is really important to me. I mean, that's another great thing about not being in a relationship, honestly, for me. I feel that I can be much more useful to God. I have the freedom. I mean, being in a relationship is great. Obviously, I love it. That's something that I really enjoy. That's why I always stayed in one. I mean, I ended one, and it was easy enough to get into the next, you know. But I can be of more use, and this is just my personal view on it for me, that I can be more helpful to others because I don't have another person to worry about, you know, and have that balance. Because that other person, to me, should always come first, you know, after God. I don't think there's a good chance of a relationship working if God's not in it. Okay, where am I? Well, I definitely wanted to talk about asking for help, which Kelly mentioned is something that I need to do, I guess. That's possible because I also told her about something that happened a couple months ago. And it stuck out to me because it was premeditated. So I go to this movie with all these CA people. It was on our first big snowstorm night. And I was really honored to be asked to go. And I'm like, cool, I get to do fun stuff. And they want to spend time with me. And I'm like, all right, I'm down. So I go to this movie. They give me some popcorn. I'm like, I get popcorn too? This is a bet, you know. So I sit down in my chair. I'm like, I got this. I take my popcorn. I put it on the armrest. I'm like, I'm going to take my jacket off. So I put it down. I'm taking my jacket off. Whoop, there goes the popcorn. I'm like, you know, onto somebody else's lap. Somebody who's here. Sorry. But it was avoidable. All I had to do, because I knew it could have been an issue, right? I'm like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make it happen all by myself. But I could have just asked for some help, and it would have been avoided. You know, so even that little itty-bitty thing just stuck out to me like, wow, you're so right, God, because I know I wouldn't have got here without people helping me all the time. I mean, I believe 100% that's why we're here. What are we here for if not for each other? God uses these words like always and never, and they're absolute, and the English language doesn't usually like to use those kind of words because they're God words, but he's unchanging in my mind, and that's who he says he is. Life eternal. I'm not worried about. I also call him my father, so he's there to teach me who I'm supposed to be and how I'm supposed to act and how I'm supposed to treat others and what I'm supposed to do with my time, because it is my time until I give it to him. But as my father, he's not so concerned. I'm not a parent myself, but I know a lot of people in here are, and probably can understand that being a parent isn't about making your children happy all the time, because you want them to grow up and be the kind of person that they need to be, you know. So that instant gratification, that plays right into the whole God thing too. Like, I can't bargain with God. I can't say, God, just make me happy today, you know, and I'm going to do your will tomorrow. You know, I don't think that's how he works. He wants us to always be looking to him and understand that what his purpose is much better. I mean, like I said, I was not planning on coming to meetings. Like, I was good. Like, I work, I pay my bills, I'm responsible, I have a good family. I have meetings, I don't know. But it's such, I was sharing that at lunch yesterday. It's an amazing avenue to be able to help people, because there's just people always, and you never know what could be said or shared. Or I know that just being there helps me, that other people are there. I mean, these people have been sober 30 years, and they're at these meetings all the time. You know, I can't even fathom that. I'm like, okay, they're still here consistently. That's pretty cool, you know. Like, maybe I should keep coming back. I should keep showing up, you know. kind of inspiring. Like, all right. I have no idea what to talk about. This is not my forte. Oh, yeah. I don't know. I know I waste a lot of time. I've been sucked into watching TV all the time and taking my personal time. And there's so much more I could be doing. So many people that need help. I don't even care what it is, like feeding people or just being there, giving rides, whatever I can do, I'm happy to help, but I don't usually go out seeking it, like, hey, you need something to eat? No. You can come to me, and then I can help you. But I guess that's part of the lesson I had to learn, too. People weren't going to help me unless I asked. Told you I was not the person for this. Let's see. Okay. Like I said, I was going to Bible study, youth group, church services. I was doing everything I could to stay close to God. And then I just, like, decided that wasn't for me because I was having this huge spiritual battle in my head. And then I ended up in rehab. Then I tried to get back on track. I was, like, doing Bible studies, and I was part of Sisters of Strength, this meeting on the north side. And, yeah, it was somewhat part of my life, but I don't know that I was owning it. I still did it my way, like, okay, well, I go back to work, I go back to paying bills, I go back to having my own place. But, so God was there, but he wasn't everything. He wasn't everything. So, and as long as God isn't everything, he continually gets less and less and less and less and less. So, time passed, and I would go to church once in a while, and then all of a sudden, my immediate family, my brother and my mom, started going to a local church, and they were extra involved with the church, and then I got extra involved with the church, and we actually ended up leaving that church, and that was hard for me because that wasn't the first church I left. You know, I guess that's where I have a hard time with churches, because back when I was younger going to the church I went to, the pastor and his family moved up to Romania. So our church was no longer. Yeah, it just diminished. And then this church was, it got into about money kind of thing. So we kind of left that church over that. And now, and with our church home, it was just hard. So I always called those AA groups that I started at. That was my church home. That's where I went with the people that we had a common goal. We had a common ground. You know, we were going for the same thing. And that was to help others and to love God and live to our best of our abilities through Him. But I guess, I don't know when it happened. I do have to say, I know not everybody believes this, but I told you about the spiritual battle in my head. And actually at that last church that we had left is when it happened for me, because I was probably like 13 years old and I always believed in praying in the Holy Spirit, and but I never did it. And then one day at that church, I did. It finally just, because I could feel it, and I just wouldn't let it out. So then one day at this church, I let it out. And since then, that spiritual battle inside my head, making me crazy, making me not want nothing to do with God, ceased. Like, that was it. That was the end of that. So to me, that was truly finding my path to God. And that was, and then it's kind of like, I don't know, there's a lot of different little parables, but, you know, these rooms are so awesome because there's so many meetings, there's so many people doing the same thing, and they don't just give you God, here's God, go use Him, you know. That's kind of, to me, that's kind of what churches do. But these rooms, they're going to sit here and they're going to show you, this is how you live your life for God. You know, you don't just get thrown into the wind and just have to decide on your own or figure it out, like, how to live your life. Because I know when I came in here, obviously I had no clue how to live my life. I was codependent and... I told Kelly one time that I used to be late for everything. I was never, ever on time for anything. That's not who I am anymore. You know, if I say I'm going to be there at a certain time or if I'm supposed to show up at a certain time, that's when I'm going to be there. And really, that's one of the most important things for me, for anybody. I mean, it shows so much just to, you know, follow up with your word or be there when you say you're going to be there. And I get to do that today. That was something I could never do before. I mean, I missed it during using. I missed Christmases, birthdays. People be calling my phone off the hook, you know. Like, I'm not answering that. I'm doing my thing, you know. Like, I don't care what they got to say. They're not talking me out of it. You might as well just stop calling. You know? Like, uh-uh. Well, that's not who I am today. I'm very grateful for that. I'm grateful for everything. I'm grateful that I get to be responsible. I'm grateful that I get to be honest. I think honesty is so important. If there's one single thing that's going to get me closer to God, it's by being honest 100% of the time. You know, there's no reason to lie. If I'm going to lie to you and coddle your feelings, all that's showing to me is that I love myself more than I love you, because I can't tell you the truth of how it is, and that's not going to help you at all. What I mean, you know, I'm just saving my own self by not being there for you. I don't want to be that person. I know it's easy to get there sometimes. There's so much in life going on, and the fact that these meetings are pretty much daily. I don't know. Like I said, I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome that you can get up and go to a meeting at any point in time and There's going to be people to talk to and listen to you and tell you how it is. You know, that's what I want to hear. I want to hear the truth. I want people to tell me exactly what's going on, why you're going through what you're going through, and how you're going to fix it, because that's on you. You know, that's on me. I can't. I can't do anything in my own willpower that's going to better my life. It might for a short time. I mean, yeah, I could save up money and buy a house. Cool, I got a house. I don't know. Some of those things just don't really matter to me. I don't really. No, I mean, they're great. Like, I love that people can do those things. I just, for me personally, people are what's important to me. And it's been mentioned this weekend also, and there's so many people dying. I've lost so many people. Everybody has. Shit's real. And I think it's up to us to do whatever we can to change it. So that's all I got.
Thank you, Amanda. We have a special way of closing.